Good morning. I want to encourage us this morning by focusing on a passage that's very popular and used often, and rightly so. It's a very beautiful passage. It's Psalm 23, and I'll begin by reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David uses a metaphor for his relationship with God. Maybe some of us have a hard time understanding that metaphor. But it's the metaphor of the Lord being his shepherd. And David understood that because David himself, as a young man, was a shepherd. And so he uses that metaphor with a lot of love and care because he knows that the shepherd has a lot of love and care for his sheep, and that's how he feels the Lord feels towards him. And it says that because the Lord is his shepherd, he shall not want. That word want means he will lack nothing. He shall not lack. And this reminds me of a story of a minister friend of mine who loved to ride his bike everywhere. He was quite an avid bike rider. And he went to Israel with his bike, just by himself. And he rode his bike all over Israel. And he told the story in a sermon one day of how he was biking in the afternoon in the heart of Israel, kind of a desert area, farmland. And he got very hungry and very thirsty as he's riding his bike. And he found himself praying almost in desperation because he was so hungry and so thirsty. And right then, a watermelon truck, a truck full of watermelons, went past him, and a watermelon fell off the truck right in front of his bicycle. And he says he got off his bicycle, and the watermelon was cracked open, and he never experienced such a great feeling when he was eating that fresh watermelon in the heat of the day. He was experiencing sustenance for his body and also a quenching of his thirst. And I liken that to what it feels like to have faith, to have a relationship with the Lord. It's just so amazing. And that's really part of our testimony and witness to others of how God completes us and he fulfills us and he meets that void that we have of in that sense of emptiness, because we were designed to be completed by God. And so because of the Lord being our shepherd, we shall not want. In verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You see, the Lord has green pastures and still waters for us. He wants us to be able to go through life, no matter how difficult the outward circumstances are, with an inner peace that can come from him and can be very still and can be very peaceful, can be the green pastures and the still waters. And others can actually experience that peace just by being around you. And the Lord wants to give you the gift of that peace. He wants to give that to me and you and all of us because of what Christ did for us on the cross. And that leads me into verse 3, which says, restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness come to us through a relationship with Christ and what Christ did for us. And I can't help but think of 1 John 1:9. It's a beautiful passage that says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that passage because it means when I go to God and confess my sin, I don't need to remember or even know about everything that could have been wrong in my life. I can know that just the act of confessing my sin as I know it creates a cleansing also of all unrighteousness. And because of this, I can know that he will lead me and guide me into paths of righteousness. Isn't that amazing how the Psalm 23 links us to our faith in the New Testament? And then verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Notice how there's a shift in the psalm here, where David is now talking directly to the Lord and not about the Lord. And we get to listen in on what he's saying. We get to have an idea of what this relationship was like that God so much loved that he told David that he was a man after God's own heart. And so we hear that he is not afraid, even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, and that he's comforted by God's rod and God's staff. And so in life, we are often faced with the shadow of death, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and sometimes the darkness of the valley of the shadow of death is worse than what we're actually going through. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous when they say, when you're alone with your thoughts, you're in a bad neighborhood. And so we know we're never alone with our thoughts, even if we can't be near people. We know that God's grace is sufficient and will be with us, and that God himself will be that strength for us in those times of darkness. I heard a story about a soldier, I think it was World War II, who'd been put in utter darkness as a way to try to torment him by the enemy. The enemy put him in an utter darkness, isolation area. And so he couldn't see anything, but he started praying and he got so full of joy that periodically he'd have to get up and just dance in joy. Isn't that awesome? It reminds me of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts when they're singing for joy in their chains in prison. And suddenly an angel of the Lord shows up and their chains fall off and there's an earthquake and the doors open. I mean, the Lord is with us in mighty ways, and he is the reason why we don't need to fear the valleys with the shadow of darkness, because he's with us. And I love the imagery of God's staff being there, because the staff had a crook on it. You've seen pictures of Jesus the shepherd with a staff, and it has the ability to reach down over the side of a steep path and rescue a sheep by hooking the sheep by the midsection and being able to pull the sheep back up onto the path. And then the rod is like a club, and that would be used for protection, but also might be used to prod the sheep to get the sheep to move when it is trying to stand still, or to put it back in line when it's starting to stray away. And the great thing about this imagery is we know that the Lord never corrects us with condemnation. The Lord always gives us hope. The Holy Spirit always gives us a life-giving hope. option to what we're facing in life. We know that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in John chapter 10, that you should read along with Psalm 23, tells us that he came to give us life, and life more abundantly. And see, that's what the Lord's all about. Life and life more abundantly. And so even in the discipline of the Lord, correction of the Lord, we experience life and the abundant life. The enemy, he says, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes to give life. And it says, you prepare a place before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I've enjoyed studying the life of David, and I'm always trying to study it because I learn something new every time I do. But there's a couple places where he would normally have faced discouragement. He was at a place where humanly he did not know what to do next. And one such story is when he and his men returned to a town called Ziklag. Ziklag was a Philistine town, and the king of Ziklag had given David this city to be his. David was maybe a little deceptive. He convinced the Philistine king that he was against Israel. And so David would go out and fight the enemies of Israel and bring back spoil. And the king of the Philistines would think David was bringing back the spoil from his conquering Israel. But David and his men were out fighting some Canaanite enemies of the Israelites one day, and when they came back, Ziklag had been burned to the ground. And when I was in Israel the first time on an archaeological dig, we actually visited Ziklag when they were doing archaeology, and they had actually dug down to a layer of ash that verified that this was a town that indeed had been burned. And so David's men, they weren't all good men. In fact, we're told a lot of them were in the outs with society. They were not good people, but they were loyal to David usually. But here they wanted to commit mutiny because everything they had was gone and their families had been kidnapped by the Amalekites. And it says that David went aside and he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. See, the Lord always has a table prepared for us in life that we can turn to. It's always there that we can go to. We can ignore those enemy voices and go to that table that he's prepared for us in the midst of our enemies, in the midst of our problems. And we can get sustenance and strength from the Lord at that table. In fact, I love that it says the very next thing, you anoint my head with oil. Because in life, we get a lot of bumps and bruises and cuts. And that was the purpose of oil for the sheep. The shepherd would go around and put oil on the heads of the sheep one by one. And they would experience healing and encouragement from this anointing of oil that would keep them from getting infection and would keep them healthy. So it's very healthy to go to that table that the Lord has prepared before you. There's no better place to get the nourishment you need to face life. And then lastly, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is at hand, and he also says the kingdom of God is within us. And we know that the Lord is with us and we are, you know, working to establish his kingdom here. But we also are told in Ephesians that we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That means we have two addresses. We have an earthly address and a heavenly address. And we know that he has our back. That's what goodness and mercy is. His goodness and mercy shall follow us. That means he goes behind us and ahead of us to make sure that his kingdom purposes are done through our efforts and in our life. And we can know that this relationship that we have and this place where we live is something that will be forever, forever and ever. Kind of like the Alleluia course. I just want to bless you with this very beautiful passage today. I love this passage. I preach on it once or twice a year. And every time I do, I get something new out of it. And during these pandemic times and stressful times, things are still that way. And many people are coping in many different ways. Look at this passage and draw your strength from the Lord, because He is our sustenance and He is all about bringing us life, and to give that life not only to us, but to those who are seeking Him. And we can help bring that faith to them through Jesus. God bless.